Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I'm Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and here with me in the studio, Chris and my man Weasel Wee. Yeah, there it is. There's two. Hey, what can I say? Week two, crazy stuff going all over the place. Not all the games were necessarily great games. We did have a lot of fantastic finishes, a lot of newsworthy occurrences, and guess what? The reason why we're here at all times, because football. That's why we bring you football talk just the way you like it here on the National Gridiron Network. And, of course, quick shout out to Rodney Fisher and the Real Fan Sports Network for his involvement in getting us involved on Tuesdays as well. Of course, you know, if you're listening to us on Tuesday, we are pre-recorded here Monday night, 7:30 Eastern, 8:30 Eastern here on NGSCSports.com. You can check us out live. It's a good time all the way around. You can hear us on iHeart, National Gridiron Network, NGSC Sports, iTunes. Fantastic stuff all the way around. Don't forget Spreaker as well. Gentlemen, I'm not going to waste a lot of time. I mean, let's go ahead and get right into it. Thursday night, I featured this game in my matchup mania piece that comes out on Tuesday night on NGSCSports.com and on Wednesdays on ProPlayerInsiders.com. And I will always have this matchup featured when it comes up, just because even when the score is a little bit, of a big gap, it's still a fun game to watch if you happen to like Smash Mouth football. And this game didn't disappoint either, in my opinion. The Steelers heading over to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. Weasel, walk us through the Thursday night matchup.
The Ravens at home dominated the Steelers 26-6. Steelers quarterback Big Ben Roethlisberger, 22 of 37, 217 yards, INT, and he was sacked twice. Ravens' Joe Flacco was 21 of 29, 166 yards, two touchdowns, not sacked.
Steelers, that's kind of huge, wouldn't you say? Because We've been talking about that defensive front not being what it used to be. I mean, Kiesel's beard is still epic. Let's call it what it is. Brett Kiesel is still obviously a fantastic individual all the way around as a football player, but old. And then without looking it up, can anybody else name a Steelers defensive lineman not Brett Kiesel?
Aaron Smith.
Very good. I'll give you points. But, is it Aaron Smith? Because I'm still learning.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Aaron Smith.
Aaron Smith. Is it Aaron? No, Aaron.
Does it matter?
Okay, I just had to make sure. Because Key and Peele, all right, I'm making a joke. Anyways, continue, Weasel.
All right, so Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell.
When you want to run, Le'Veon.
11 carries for 59 yards and 5 catches for 48 yards. Ravens' Bernard Pierce. There's not going to be any Ray Rice sightings anytime soon.
Yeah. Too soon, Weasel. We don't need to do that again. I'm just saying.
Yeah, 22 for 96. Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown, 7 catches for 90 yards. Tight end Heath Miller lost a fumble. Womp had womp. 4 for 39.
Antonio Brown also left the game early, if I understand correctly, to an injury as well, which we got to... I know the name you're going to say next, because I know who stepped up in his place.
Well, next is the Ravens here.
Oh, okay. Well, then make sure you give a little love to Marcus Wheaton.
Because Marcus Wheaton, he's, I think, right now, the number two guy, so...
Okay, yeah. It's good mentioning that he stepped in for him, you know. Anyways, continue. I'm sorry.
Ravens Steve Smith Sr. He kind of showed that he still has it. 6 receptions for 71 yards, and he had a good game last week, too.
By the way, I wrote that up a month ago that this would happen. Okay. I'm just saying.
Tight end Owen Daniels had
Chris
5.
Shut up,
Cal. Owen Daniels, 5 for 28. So in the game's opening drive, the Steelers' Justin Brown lost a fumble on the offense when they were just outside the red zone. That led to a Steelers touchdown.
So, yeah, the one thing I'll say that I take away from this game more than anything else, Owen frickin' Daniels. Do you guys understand now that the best quarterback he's played under is Joe frickin' Flacco? And if I understand correctly, he's played in 2 games and has 2 touchdowns. Granted.
So you're saying Joe Flacco's better than Matt Schaub?
I mean, right now, if I don't say that, I think I would be lynched, drawn, and quartered by the football public at large. But, huh?
Too soon.
Well, Marshawn Lynch.
No.
What are you? Are you trying to make a comment, Weasel?
I was, but
I'll
moving on.
I'll close the curtain.
Moving on.
Because I don't want to embarrass you like that on air. We said, moving on. Please move on. Anyways, so speaking of things that need to be moved on from quickly, the Washington franchise looking to move on from dealing with this injury concept, but they're not going to get to anytime soon. Chris has more. Chris.
Yeah, RG3 dislocated his ankle in the first quarter. It's unknown his timetable that he's out. So you think that would hurt the Skins, but insert Kirk Cousins, and he drove down the field and hit fullback Daryl Young for a 20-yard touchdown, and they routed the Jags 41-10. Cousins finished 22 of 33, 67%, 250 yards with two touchdowns, no INTs. For the Jacksonville, didn't look good for Chad Henne. He was 14 for 28, 50%, 193 yards with a touchdown, an interception, and he was sacked 10 times.
10 times. I believe, no. Ryan Kerrigan had four of them, right?
Yes, Ryan Kerrigan did have four of the sacks.
That's kind of ridiculous.
Even with those 10 sacks, you take out those yards from him, he was the leading rusher with 17 yards for the Jags.
Awesome.
Alfred Morris had 22 carries for 85 yards, 3.9 a carry with two touchdowns. And Silas Red for the Skins also had 8 carries for 41 yards and a touchdown. Rookie Allen Robinson had 4 catches for 75 yards for the Jags. And tight end Mercedes Lewis had a 63-yard touchdown catch. For the Redskins, if you need a tight end, pick this one up. Tight end Niles Paul. Eight catches, 99 yards, a touchdown. He had a decent week last week filling in for the injured Jordan Reed.
I mean, I know it's a name. It's not a name I knew about. I'm throwing that out there. I mean, I'm like, where's Fred Davis? What happened to him? You know,
Fred Davis has been long gone.
I know.
It's because of Skins.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But the first time the Jags got into the Skins territory was late in the fourth quarter. I mean, yeah, they had a touchdown before that, but it was a 63-yard pass to Mercedes Lewis. Let's see. DeSean Jackson also left the game with a AC joint sprain in the first quarter. But what should the Skins do when RG3 comes healthy? Should they keep with Cousins, see how he rides out the next few weeks? Should the Skins be excited for Cousins? I mean, they gave him like I said a couple weeks ago. I don't know if it was last week, a couple weeks ago when Weasel brought up the trade with Cousins. I said Cousins more of a Gruden-type quarterback.
And quickly explain that.
He's a pocket presence. Gruden likes his quarterbacks to be the conventional quarterback, stay in the pocket, and take the shots down the field.
Right.
He doesn't want a quarterback that's going to scramble. I mean, look what he's done. What he did with in Cincinnati.
With Dalton. Right.
So, I mean, it's his type, prototype quarterback, Cousins.
Okay. Well, and Weasel, I saw you've always been on top of the Redskins and the picks and the thing. And where do you come out on this point? Since I know of the three of us, you're the most intimately aware of the investment that the Redskins put in to get RG3. If RG3 is back, is it a done deal that he gets the start?
No. It's the guy, let's see, for Robert Griffin III.
Mm-hmm.
He was traded to 2 years ago.
And traded for 2 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think there was like a first round pick there, first round pick last year, and a first round pick this year. That one was number two overall.
Right.
So they got a lot of young players. You know, they traded back and all. But what it kind of comes down to is that Robert Griffin III is going to be, RG3 is going to be paid. I mean, he got injured and stuff.
Has been. Yeah. I mean, let's call it, yeah, his rookie contract is still in effect.
But the thing is Kirk Cousins, he played pretty good, darn good. So you got to run with, you know, who's winning.
Who's hot.
And it's kind of like, I think of it similar to that of the 49ers a couple of years ago. Because Alex Smith, he got a concussion and he was out for like a week or two. And you have Kaepernick who comes along. And he just, you know, blows everyone away. The 49ers were not like, we have to start Alex Smith.
Right.
They went with the guy who's winning. So
now, granted, the only difference in that example is that the Niners had Alex Smith an extended period of time and had realized 6 years of failure before the seventh year he showed up and all that. But I like where you went there. It's the conundrum
of, hey, this is the guy we put put in place. And then Kaepernick was only drafted one round ahead of where Cousins was. And the reason why I didn't answer your question, Chris, is I want to expand that a little bit. You're going the right direction. You're talking about when RG3 comes back. Oh, heck no. What about when it comes time for Robert Griffin III's contract to expire? Should they sign him back?
They got a couple years to think about that.
I understand that.
I don't think they have that many years, really. I most rookie quarterback contracts are 3-4 years, especially first round.
5 years maximum, but right. and we're going into year three here. So, right. but the reason why it's okay to ask that question now is, what if Cousins actually supplants RG3? Then what? But the fiscal concern steps in, right, with his cap number being on the bench. They're going to try to shop him for a trade. Who's going to take him? Well, because there's a quarterback, he might end up, let's say, in a Ravens uniform. Or not Ravens, I'm sorry. Raiders. No, I was not trying to do Joe Flacco hate there. That was just a genuine mistake. Raiders uniform. He could end up with the Texans, for example. There's a lot of other places that are that weak at quarterback. It's just truth. Maybe the Rams. Heck, they have a thing for quarterbacks that get injured easily. That's right, looking at you, Sam Bradford. You know, this... How these next 6 to 9 weeks go for this ankle injury is going to shape at least two different franchises, one of them obviously being the Redskins and the other being the team that's going to try to jockey to get Robert Griffin. It's a very interesting concept. So let's put it this way. You asked the right question, right, Chris. I just wasn't going to stop there.
Yeah, well, what I mean, it was against the Jags, too, so you got to look right at that, so...
Well, and then, I mean, he polished off the game against the Ravens last year, Kirk Cousins. I believe it was in overtime when RG3 got hurt 2 years ago by getting tackled by Haloti Ngata, which, because Haloti Ngata. But, yeah, I don't know. It could really go either way. But you mentioned the weakness of the schedule and actually having to face Jacksonville. What about the rest of the NFC least? Just throwing that out there. Anyway, enough about that. We'll get to it later if we need to. Weasel, Pats Vikings.
On the road, the Patriots crushed the Vikings 30-7. Patriots quarterback Tom Brady was 15 of 22, 149 yards, one touchdown, sacked once. Vikings quarterback Matt Cassell, 19 of 36, 202 yards, one touchdown, four INTs. Four.
That's a lot.
It is. And then he was sacked six times. You got running back Stevon Ridley for the Patriots, 25 carries for 101 yards and a touchdown.
Apparently he's out of the doghouse.
Yeah. Shane Vereen had 6 for 40. Vikings running back Matt Asiata.
Mike Asiata.
Yeah, whatever.
I think, whatever. The point is, the guy you never hear about because it's usually Adrian Peterson or Toby Gerhardt.
So M. Asiata actually had 13 for 36 and 5 receptions for 48 yards and a touchdown.
Which, by the way, yes, you said Asiata. That's what I would have said, too. You're rolling with it. I like it. He's so new that I've not heard anyone pronounce his name yet. So that's what I'm going with, too. Boom. Yeah. As Jared Allen said in that commercial where he was going to the doorstep and singing for thankful fans, nailed it! Anyways.
Yeah.
Patriots. No one remembers that commercial. It's going to be going to YouTube. What is he talking about? Jared Allen singing in a commercial. Anyways.
Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman had 6 catches for 81 yards and a touchdown. Tight end Rob Gronkowski, 4 for 32.
Gronk.
Vikings wide receiver Cordero Patterson at 4 for 56. No, he was not shown in the running game stats. That was kind of interesting when he had 3 end rounds in a row. Not in a row, but 3 end rounds in the game last week. And he had like 101 yards rushing. They didn't try it this time. Maybe something to do with Peterson? I don't know.
Well, let's think about it. Why does that work? Let's break the play down. Why did that? I mean, it works. It's not just in the concept of Adrian Peterson. Marshawn Lynch set up a touchdown last week in week one on Thursday night to set up a touchdown pass for Russell Wilson. It's no different than setting up Peterson. Everyone butts the middle, collapses inside. Cordero Patterson says, peace, takes it to the outside, see you, bye. It has everything to do with it, with Peterson not being there.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so you got just before the half, the Vikings had a blocked field goal that was returned 58 yards for a touchdown by one Chandler Jones. So the thing that I'm wondering It's Matt Castle. Will he be benched for the rookie quarterback Teddy Bridgewater? So it's a yes or no. With, if so, when?
I'm not the right guy to ask this question because I still don't understand why the hell Bridgewater isn't starting already. Chris, do you got something on that?
Maybe they're trying to take a page out of Jacksonville's book. Don't want to rush him in there, you know. Look at what happened with Carolina all those years when they inserted the rookie quarterbacks in. I mean, Cam Newton's an exception with that one. I mean, look at all of the other ones. They had first-round draft picks before that, you know. So maybe they don't want to rush him. Maybe want to sit back a little bit.
See, you mentioned the Carolina quarterbacks, and that's something that's about 5 years old at this point. And I know you're referring to Jimmy Clausen, and let's be real. He was right horrible. I'm not even going to dance around that.
Right.
But then, are you that worried?
Well, no, I mean, just look at the. I mean, his stock fell. Bridgewater's. He was good in his junior year in college.
Well, right.
His senior year, his stock fell. He didn't test well in the combines. I think he's getting that label. I think they just want to, before they give him the reins, they want to just make sure, give Castle benefit of the doubt.
No other hope.
Right. and then go from there.
Well, and I'll say this, and I think we're going to see Bridgewater sooner than the end of the year. Not so much because Matt Castle is going to do bad. I mean, as the sports public goes, we're all pretty certain that's going to happen. But with Asiata stepping in and filling the role nicely for at least the 1 week so far, granted, it's a small sample size, I'm curious to see if they're going to think that Asiata and Patterson together are enough support to pull the trigger on bringing in Bridgewater. Theodore. Clap.
They're talking about Peterson's going to be available for week three.
Right, and just quickly, I don't know that you mentioned it, Weasel. Peterson's currently missing charges surrounding, I think it's child abuse, essentially.
Well, pretty much what happened, to sum it up, is that I don't know the time frame when the incident actually occurred.
Back in May.
But Adrian Peterson, I think he has a four-year-old son. I think he has four other kids.
Yep.
But so you got a four-year-old son who's, I don't think, aware of a lot of things with like why and stuff like that. But
I mean, because children. No, I'm following you.
The way Peterson did say that, the way he was brought up in the South, mm-hmm. is that you punish with instead of like going to someone's room, it's like physical punishment. So what Peterson did was he got it's called a
switch,
and it's branches
what,
with the.
What other demographics would refer to as a paddle or a whipping stick?
Yeah, so that's good.
What it is?
It's a pretty much a leaf, a branch with some leaves on it and stuff taken off. But essentially, he whipped the kid allegedly about 13 times. Mm-hmm. He had lacerations all around him, and it was pretty bad, and Peterson's defending himself by saying that's the way I was brought up.
Right.
And he just wants, you know, set him right. And so it's questionable what's going to happen. And the Vikings did do a good job with, I think, bringing
him.
Deactivating him the first game, but bringing him back because there's still an investigation. They're going to wait until that, and then they need to punish Peterson. They can do that. So I think, it was right to keep him out. So,
okay.
Well, they didn't really have a choice because he was in jail. He had a warrant for his arrest. So he just got released.
Actually,
so it's not like they had a really option.
That whole interaction only took about 30 minutes. He turned himself in and then he bailed himself out.
Yeah, he could afford it. Yeah.
Well, right. I mean, thanks, Marty Pants. No, but I mean, but in all seriousness, yeah, I mean, he could have technically, I guess, been available. Depending on, this wasn't Minnesota. So, I mean, he could have been available, I guess, technically. But at the end of the day, I'm with you, Weasel. I like the club's stance on it. They pulled him out. They're going to bring him back as to see where the proceeding takes it. Because, look, I'm sorry, folks. I hate to keep bringing this up. The NFL is not a judicial authority. They don't set the laws for this for their individual cities, states, and certainly not for the country. Let the freaking judicial system do its job first. Then the team can decide from there. And if they, for whatever reason, I mean, to take it as an example, the whole Ray Rice situation, if Roger Goodell had come out and hit him harder than 2 weeks first, everybody would have been fine. So if Peterson's punishment, if he's found guilty of anything, if the public doesn't think it matches the crime, the team then has the option to further add on to whatever it would be. Weasel.
So quickly transferring to the Ray Rice situation, all I want to say is this, that you have Roger Goodell saying that for 6 months about he was not aware of the second video, so that was in the elevator.
Well,
but
I don't want to get into the whole he said, she said about the video and all this other stuff.
All I'm saying is
nothing is confirmed and it's all TMZ mostly. But I mean, go ahead. I'm
yeah. All I'm saying is that Goodell may be caught in a lie. That's all. The guys,
and just like at one point, we can't. I'm not going to go that far yet because it's not there. The evidence.
I'm just saying
yet.
That
it's possible.
That it's
okay.
Possible.
It's also possible that there's too much out there that could go wrong in any direction. I mean, I don't want to say anything definitive because we don't have anything definitive. Is it possible? Certainly. Duh. You know,
I think Michael Vick got a harsher sentence because he was lying to Goodell. That's what I think Goodell said, or something like that.
Don't make that
so,
mistake of comparing those
that's
things
it.
Either.
That's
bro.
It. We'll
yeah,
see what happens.
We already saw how wrong things can get by comparing things. No, that's a whole other game, too. Not to mention Vick had a prison sentence entailed in that, but I digress. Anyways, speaking of prison sentences, we were all prisoners watching the game here in Florida as the Dolphins made for a very awful matchup against the Bills, who by some miracle, 2-0.
And lead the AFC East.
Yeah. Boom. I mean, yeah, that. At the end of the day, the Dolphins were just pretty sloppy in general. I'm going to call that what it is. But, you know, last week on defense, Tom Brady was struggling because of all the pressure. You didn't really see that happen here. The Bills win 29-10. Granted, they did have a 102-yard return by C.J. Spiller as well, who also went 12 for 69 on the ground as well. All right. But still had a pretty solid game all the way around. E.J. Manuel, 16 for 26, 202 yards and a touchdown. He's starting to come into his own. It's very interesting. Ryan Tannehill didn't have a bad game per se either. 31 for 49, 241 yards and a touchdown. Did throw an interception. But for me, what I find the most interesting, and Chris, check me on this. I have it in my notes. I did the research. I still can't take it seriously. Did the Bills have 6 trips to the red zone?
I'll look it up.
That's hard for me to grasp. Like the Dolphins went 1 for 2 in the red zone. We already know that they're not scoring a lot of points with 10 points. I mean, let's call that what it is, too. They weren't exactly great. The Bills also sacked Tannehill 4 times, so there's that. But, yeah, I don't know. 1 for 6 in the red zone is bad, I'll grant, but what's worse is that defense let them in there 6 times. That's pretty awful. I'm just going to throw that out there. Yeah, whatever. I go to the Ale House regularly with
yeah, they were 1 for 6, 16%.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm going to say that's bad, and we'll leave it at that.
And then they were 5 for 6 on field goal attempts, too.
Well, they better be. They better be. Otherwise, we got a mathematical problem somewhere in the stat sheet. But anyways, speaking of other games that went horribly wrong, the Lions and the Panthers. Chris.
Well, Cam Newton made his season debut as he led the Panthers to a 24-7 victory over Detroit Lions. Neither team could get anything going in the first half as the score was 6-0 with Panthers at the break. Matt Stafford was 27-48, 56%, 291 yards with a touchdown and an interception. Cam Newton was 22-34, 65%, 281 yards with a touchdown. They both were sacked 4 times. Joe Bell for the Lions had 10 carries for 36 yards with a lost fumble. He also had 6 catches for 61 yards. Jonathan Stewart had 15 carries for 37 yards with a touchdown. Megatron had six catches for 83 yards and a dropped touchdown pass, unlike him.
Oops.
Golden Tate was 5 for 57. Jed Collins had a touchdown reception. For the Panthers, Greg Olsen, 6 for 72. Jason Avant, 5 for 54 with a touchdown. And rookie Kelvin Benjamin had 2 for 46. In the red zone, I mean, the Panthers are 2 for 4. Lions were 1 for 1 the only time they got in there. Turnovers, 3 for the Lions, 0 for the Panthers.
Yeah, I was about to say.
You're not gonna win that game. And also, I think it's time for the Lions to get a new kicker, as the rookie from Boston College, Nate Freese, is 2 for 5 on the season, and he missed both attempts in the first half against the Panthers. Otherwise, it would have been 6-6 at half.
Do we got the lengths of those field goals that he missed?
Just give me a second. I'll look it up. It was outside the 20-yard line. If it was
okay,
so it's at least a 37 yarder.
Your business is what I'm getting to. That's all I need. And I mean, like, oh my God, he missed a 63 yarder. Fire a sorry butt. That's different.
Yeah, no, I think they were less than 50.
So they're makeable, is what you're.
Yeah, they're makeable.
Hey, you know, if you've got the next coming of the Shankopanamus on your team, yeah, I agree. It's time.
He missed 2 field goals against the Giants last week, also.
But nobody really noticed because that game went the way it did. Way it right. went, unfortunately.
So, but after the Panthers went up 21-7 in the fourth, the Lions returner Jeremy Ross fumbled the ball, and the Panthers ended up kicking a field goal to go up 24-7. So nothing. That was one of the fumbles.
Fair enough. So there you go. One game that lacked defense completely, or so it would seem, is another game where defense was quite a factor. I'm talking about Falcons-Bengals. Weasel, why did we not get the shootout we were hoping for in this game?
Well, the Falcons on the road, they lost the Bengals 24-10. Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan threw 3 touchdowns in Week 1's game.
That's right.
That's pretty good.
I think so.
He's back.
Yes.
Well, reality set in. As Ryan was 24 of 44, 231 yards. 1 touchdown, 3 INTs.
Oops.
And sacked twice. Bengals' Andy Dalton was 15 of 23, 252 yards, and 1 touchdown. Falcons running back Steven Jackson had 11 carries for 46 yards. Bengals' Giovanni Bernard had 27 carries for 90 yards and a touchdown, with 5 receptions for 79 yards.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please enter your host pin. When finished, press the pound key.
When you're doing your stats for the Falcons with Matt Ryan, just do that again.
Okay.
I'll lead you in. You'll be fine. Just give me a second.
That was our break.
To start your.
Since it appears you're calling back into a live show, we are reconnecting you now.
Well, apparently we got to take our break a little early as imposed by Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for very much. Not really. Weasel. You were telling us about Matt Ryan before they kicked us off of our own show here. What do you got?
Well, all I'll say is 3 touchdowns last week. This week, 3 INTs, 1 touchdown. So Ryan was 24 of 44, 231 yards. He was sacked twice. Bengals' Andy Dalton was 15 of 23, 252 yards, 1 touchdown. Respectable. Falcons running back Steven Jackson, I think in a year, this year or maybe next year, I think he's going to retire.
I'm surprised he didn't already, yeah. To be honest.
He had 11 carries for 46 yards. Bengals' Giovanni Bernard had 27 carries for 90 yards and a touchdown. 5 receptions for 79 yards also. Jeremy Hill had 15 for 74 and a touchdown. Falcons wide receiver Julio Jones had 7 catches for 88 yards and a touchdown. Bengals' wide receiver Mohamed Sanu, 3 for 84 and a 76-yard touchdown. He also did complete a pass for 50 yards.
Right. I mean, hey, obviously the guy who filled in for A.J. Green.
Yeah, A.J. Green, yeah, he's going to be out until about week 5 or so, so we'll see. We'll see about him.
You'll see if he keeps coming back. And it's good he comes back for week 5. That's when they go to New England and face the Patriots.
Yep, and Falcons had 3 turnovers, and the Bengals were turnover-free, so that had something to do about the end.
By the way, Bengals are turnover-free for the entire 2 weeks of the season so far.
Huh.
No other team in the NFL can claim that.
Hmm. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, actually, no, that is accurate. The Bengals haven't even suffered a fumble yet this season, so that's a good start. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. With that, Weasel, walk us through the awesome matchup. That was Texans Raiders.
Texans embarrassed the Raiders at home 30-14. The Texans quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick was 14 of 19, 139 yards, two touchdowns. Raiders rookie quarterback Derek Carr, 27 of 42, 263 yards, one touchdown, two INTs. Did have four scrambles for 58 yards. Both quarterbacks were not sacked this game. Texans running back Arian Foster set 28 carries for 138 yards and a touchdown. Raiders Darren McFadden had 12 for 37 and a touchdown. Texans wide receiver Andre Johnson, six catches for 74 yards. DeAndre Hopkins had three for 22. And the first score of the game was by none other than J.J. Watt.
Watt! Yeah!
Yeah, he caught a one-yard pass for a touchdown.
Okay!
Good for him. And he got paid, so.
See, do you like how I got the trifecta in there?
Yeah, yo.
Okay!
So, here's another turnover game where Raiders had four, and the Texans were mistake-free.
Yeah, by the way, I don't know if you heard Charles Woodson in the post-game press conference, but do you want to tell the people of the world out there what his precise... You don't want to say it? You don't want to say it? It's two words. I know you know what he said. What did he say?
We suck.
Boom. By the way, Chris, how do you feel about the Giants and their performance this week?
If Woodson was on the Giants, he'd say, we suck. Defense and special teams wins football games, and the Arizona Cardinals showed that on Sunday. Ted Ginn Jr. had a 71-yard punt return for a touchdown, had three broken tackles on the play as well, and the Cardinals defense had four takeaways on the 15 unanswered fourth quarter points to come from behind and beat the Giants 25-14. Drew Stanton getting the start for Carson Palmer was 14 for 29, 48%, 167 yards. Eli Manning, 26 for 39, 67%, 277 yards, one touchdown, two INTs. So if you can, you know, before the preseason, they're saying his goal is 70%. You had those two interceptions because they were technically completions. That'd be a 71%. Just so you know. Andre Ellington had 15 carries for 91 yards, 6.1 a carry. Jonathan Dwyer had a touchdown run for the Cardinals. He had nine carries for 31 yards. Rashard Jennings for the Giants, 18 for 64, 3.6. He also had four catches for 45 yards. Fitzgerald in there, six catches, 51 yards. Tight end Larry Donald for the Giants, second week in a row that he's been the leading receiver, had seven catches for 81 yards. Reuben Randall and Daniel Fells both caught a touchdown pass. Eli Manning, you know, four interceptions already in the season.
That's pretty bad.
Yes.
I don't think he's leading. Well, actually, no, he's probably in the top three.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's outright leading yet. I think Alex Smith may be tied with him. I'd have to check. Actually, no, he's not. Never mind. Alex Smith only has three interceptions because he didn't have any interceptions this week. We'll get to that game in a minute. First off, speaking of quarterbacks who threw a lot of interceptions and then didn't in week two, Tony Romo. That's right. I said it. Apparently, he's going to try to bring back some sort of hope to the Cowboys. They go 26-10 over the Titans. By the way, Sharona Fabulosa talking to you. I blame you because I can't blame anyone else because I had faith in the Titans to beat the Cowboys' sorry defense, and they didn't. I'm just saying.
We're all high on the Titans last week. Jeez.
Yeah. Well, not high on the Titans, just low on the Cowboys. I mean, let's put it in perspective.
Well, I'm always low on the Cowboys. I was just...
Because fanhood. I got you. Anyways, Tony Romo went for 19 for 29, 176 yards with a touchdown. I think part of it is because, you know, they didn't have to rely on him so much. DeMarco Murray had a huge game again against a defense that needs some work up front, apparently. 29 carries for 167 yards and a touchdown with a lost fumble. Jake, I should be stuffed in a locker. 18 for 34, 234 yards, touchdown and two INTs. Yeah, should be stuffed in a locker. Do I got something there? I'll work on it. But the Cowboys, you know, took care of their business in the air and on the ground. Des Bryant had 10 catches for 103 yards and a touchdown. And always a telling sign for a struggling squad is when their leading receiver is a tight end that's not Jimmy Graham or Antonio Gage or somebody like that. Delaney Walker, 10 catches, 142 yards with a touchdown. Third down conversion, in my view, was the difference in addition to the turnovers. The Cowboys were 56% on third down, an excellent number. 2 for 10 were the Titans.
overall. Just not a good movement of the football. And if you can't move the football, you can't score. So says John Madden. Anyways, with that, heading over to Denver. Now, I would have thought this game was out of hand. And at one point, it looked at it. It looked like it when the Broncos were up two scores. But the Chiefs would sneak back just in time to lose yet again, much like the Colts did last Monday. I have Denver over KC, 24-17. Peyton Manning did his thing, 21 of 26. Very impressive, 242 yards with three touchdowns once again. Granted, they weren't all to Julius Thomas this time. Both Thomases and then Jacob Tammy on a four-yard score were the recipients of the touchdown this week. Alex Smith threw zero picks, went 26 for 42, but also threw zero touchdowns. Nile Davis on the ground, 22 carries for 79 yards and two touchdowns made the difference because Jamal Charles knocked out of this game early. Once again, a minimal impact, this time due to injury. And I believe they're going to be out Charles at least another 2 weeks. We'll see how that goes. On the ground, Monte Ball had 12 carries for 60 yards as well. Again, providing an excellent balance on the offense. Travis Kelce, the leading receiver for the Chiefs. Again, further proof that the king of the checkdown wasn't doing quite enough moving the football. And while he did have an opportunity later in the game to tie up the score, the Broncos defense stepped up big in the red zone to make the stop. Now, I'll go ahead and let you say, see, Chris has already pulled his mic. If you saw the video, he's about ready to devour this call. I'm going to let him do it. But it was set up by a bad call on a fumble that was ruled an incomplete pass. But even still, even after that demoralizing moment, the Broncos defense made a stand. Let me say that again because I didn't get to say it very much at all in 2013. The Broncos defense made a stand to decide the game. Chris, what about this fumble?
Yeah, that I don't even remember who it was that – oh, it was Ware that came DeMarcus around. Ware. DeMarcus Ware came around.
You're so used to cheering against him.
Right. I'm like, who was it, Ian? But DeMarcus Ware came around, and as Alex Smith was back to throw the ball, he comes over, you know that SWAT fumble that they all like to do. He comes, hits Alex Smith's arm. Alex Smith feels the pressure, so he turns his wrist as he's trying to bring the ball back in, bring his left arm over, try to secure the ball, and the ball went forward, and they call that a forward pass.
Yeah, and here's the thing about it. The ball was really knocked before any arm movement really took place. The only thing that might have saved him was the tuck rule. That was, we all know from the tuck rule game and that snowy game with the Patriots and Raiders in the AFC Championship game. I forget what year it was precisely. But the point is this. That rule doesn't exist anymore. This was a fumble. This was a bad call. Didn't matter. Broncos still held the day. I can't front on that at all. And, yeah, I mean, give the Broncos credit. Apparently, those acquisitions in the offseason made this a win for the Broncos in Mile High and a divisional win at that. Quickly, Chris, take us through the Jets and the Packers. What happened there?
The Jets came out flying against the Packers as they jetted to a 21-3 second quarter lead, only to be grounded in the second half as Aaron Rodgers took over and threw three touchdown passes and a 31-24 win for the Pack.
Okay, let me be clear. You did a lot of cool wordplay there. But you can't use the team name as a verb.
Why not?
And be cute about it.
Why not?
You could have come
they
up
flew.
With
it. They flew.
You started with yeah, flew. Yeah. That was cool. I got
they're flying. I had flying.
That was great.
Grounded.
But
they jetted.
New York jetted. No! That's dumb. You're better than that. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
They soared.
21-3. Nailed it. Right?
Sword sounds gay. Jetted still sounds better than sword, though. I'm sorry.
Hey, fine. Don't be like everybody else and take the easy right. way out. I mean, I don't know. Hey, no, but that was awesome. I'm just saying. Go ahead.
For Geno Smith, he had a pretty good week in week one. This week, not so great. 16 for 32, 50%, 176 yards with a touchdown and interception. The interception came in the second quarter with a little less than 2 minutes left. They were right outside the 20, and the ball was intercepted on the Green Bay's 3-yard line. And Aaron Rodgers, 25-42, 60%, 346 yards with three touchdowns. One fumble. The first fumble was the very first play of the game. He lost the snap. Fumbled the snap the very first play of the game. Aaron Rodgers.
Did it hit someone's butt?
No, it was just a bad snap. It was just
oh, did it was not the grab the snap. Did it, not the
yeah,
Jets.
Packers.
Okay, then
yeah,
then,
no,
okay.
no butt fumble. So I mean, with that Geno Smith interception on the 3-yard line, Aaron Rodgers went 97 yards in a minute something to score the touchdown. They only go down. It was 21-16 and a half. So Chris Ivory for the Jets, 13 carries, 43 yards with a touchdown. Eddie Lacy as well had 13 carries for 43 yards. Eric Decker, 4 catches, 63 yards with a touchdown. Jordy Nelson, 9 catches, 209 yards with a touchdown.
You know, you got the guy from that old commercial. That guy's on my fantasy team. Yeah, yeah.
Randall Cobb had 5 catches, 39 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a 2-point conversion. But late in the fourth quarter, down 24-31, the Jets went for it on a 4th and 4. And Geno Smith hit Jeremy Curley for a touchdown to tie the game.
Oh, my God. Epic. The Jets might actually be what we thought they might be. Until.
But offensive coordinator Marty Morningwig was running down the sidelines trying to call a timeout. And defensive tackle Sheldon Richardson saw him doing that. So he tapped the ref and said, hey, timeout. So the ref blew it dead. So they had to come back. They converted that 4th and 4. Came down, had a 4th and 8. Tried to do it again. Tried to hit Jeremy Curley in the end zone. It was double covered. The incomplete pass. So they fell 31-24.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, and I think you asked the question best when we were prepping for the show, Weasel, is that was it the player that was calling timeout? Technically not. He was just trying to draw attention to it. But if Sheldon Richardson, that's who it was, right?
Yeah, Sheldon Richardson.
If he didn't get the official's attention, we don't have an issue here. And in my view, because Sheldon Richardson is trying to draw attention to the timeout, from the ref's perspective, that's just the same as the player himself calling the timeout, right? So it sucks. I mean, I'm with Rex Ryan on this one. It sucks, but unfortunately, the official did his job here. Look, all the times I take to you're looking at me funny, Reason. You can respond. That's fine. But all the times that I feel like the refs get it wrong, I got to defend them here. I don't think this is the official's fault because although they miss a lot of calls, they're trying to focus on the game. It's not his job. I guess it is, but I would rather him focus on that than try to get the identity of who's calling timeout. Look, Rex has lost weight, okay? Let him run his butt over there and tap the official if we're trying to get a timeout.
Rex was sitting right next to the official. The official was just to the right of him, right in front of him. Rex wasn't – he's in the game watching the game.
Right.
He wasn't the one calling it. Marty was down the field like 15 yards behind the play,
right.
And he's running up the field trying to call a timeout because I guess he saw something he didn't like.
The running back wasn't in the right position is what's right. Being said. So, I don't know. Weasel, weigh in.
Well, I just kind of saw that as you have to ask the ref because, yes, maybe the Sheldon Richardson, maybe he tapped the ref. Maybe it was the ref saw the assistant coach or whoever it was running towards him, so he's like, oh, timeout, and then stop the play.
Richardson says that he did it.
Well,
he tapped the ref and
all I'm saying is that the ref knows, and they a lot of times, I mean, they ask the refs, like, what happened here? So if he gives, like, an honest assessment, because the guy was running after him, but you can't have a head coach. Only the head coach can make a timeout, and
the
I think, of
can't
course,
call
players.
Timeout? Okay,
players
so players
can too.
Can call timeout, right?
But assistants and stuff like that,
okay,
they
and
can.
That's fine. But,
only players on the field can call timeout, not players on the sidelines.
Really?
Call timeout. Think,
there's a distinction.
Yeah, I think there is. Yes, you have to be on the field to play in order to do it.
Then if that's the rule, then yeah, then the refs blew it. Never mind. Screw it. Here I go trying to defend them.
Nice.
Anyways.
Nice addition.
Anyways, if that's indeed the rule, the ref screwed it up. But from my perspective, if a player even on the bench can call timeout, what's the difference between a player calling timeout and tapping the ref to tell the coach that a timeout needs to be called? In my view, that's the same thing. But then again, if you're right, Chris, that the rule is that a player on the bench can't call timeout, yeah, it's complete trash. Next question. Although, you bring up an interesting point that I forget which one of you said it. That if Rex Ryan's sitting right there, I can see how he missed it because, again, he's trying to focus on the game, but that doesn't look good either. I'm just saying. Anyways, Chris, Chargers, Seahawks.
All right. I've said it before that Seahawks don't travel well, and it showed as.
No, we've said it before.
Yes.
Let's be clear.
Well, maybe it was too hot for them because the on-field temperature down in San Diego was 120 degrees, and the Chargers came away with a 30-21 victory over the defending champs.
I'll tell you one thing that wasn't hot. The Seahawks offense. Boom.
Yeah, Russell Wilson was 17 for 25, 68%, 202 yards with two touchdowns. Phillip Rivers, 28 for 37, 76%.
That's nice.
284 yards, three touchdowns. On the ground, Percy Harvin had a 51-yard touchdown run. He also lost a fumble on a kickoff. But that touchdown run that Percy Harvin had should have been called back as he stepped out of bounds. Refs didn't see it.
Well, it doesn't matter if the refs don't see it. It's a scoring play, right?
Right. No, it should be reviewed. It is reviewed, but they didn't look at the – I don't think they looked at the whole run.
At the entire run, yeah.
Right. I mean, if you look online, they keep showing 1 foot that looks like you can't tell if his heel went out. But you can't look at that one that they're pointing at. You got to look at the step before that. Mm-hmm. His foot's completely out the step before that. So that could have changed the outcome. So should a ref be punished for blowing this call on reviewing?
Well, here's where I'm at, and I don't know exactly how it works because I'll grant, you know, a little bit of ignorance here, and I don't want to spend too much time on this. But now that all these replays are being sent to central headquarters in New York and all this other stuff, I don't know whose responsibility it is to get the play reviewed on a scoring play, but since it's protocol for all of those to be reviewed, whoever failed to do that is who should be punished. If that's the ref, then yeah, that's fine. If it's some upstairs official that's supposed to be handling it in the booth, then he needs to get docked. Somebody needs to look. When are we going to hold these refs accountable? They got their damn raise 2 years ago and they're still doing a garbage job. Where are these fines? I'm with you,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I think the ref, the one that was reviewing it, should be suspended at least one game for, you know, you have one job to do. It's one guy
you
up in the booth.
One job.
The guy upstairs is the guy upstairs that reviews all the plays, all the scoring plays, all the return overs. You have one job to return to review a play, and you can't even do that. You're falling in the category as a meteorologist now. You can be wrong 100% of the time and still keep your job.
It's like, this is more like the meteorologist didn't show up.
Right.
Look, no one's saying you have to get the call right. That's fine. You could even get the damn thing over. Anyways, let's not linger on that.
All right. Marshawn Lynch only had 6 carries for 36 yards. He also had a receiving touchdown. Jermaine Kearse for the Seahawks, 4 catches, 61 yards. Running back Ryan Turbin had 2 catches for 35 yards and a touchdown. Antonio Gates had 7 catches for 96 yards and 3 touchdowns.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Eddie Royal had 7 for 69.
All right.
And Keenan Allen had 5 for 55. But Seattle in this game only ran the ball 13 times.
Okay, that's bad.
Right. Did Mike McCoy outcoach Pete Carroll? And Phillip Rivers outplay Russell Wilson?
Well, okay, I'll start with the second one first. Did Phillip Rivers outplay Russell Wilson? Yes! Not that Russell Wilson played bad, but Phillip Rivers had a much harder job throwing on that secondary. Because we all know the Chargers are known for one thing, defense. Not.
Yeah, well, that's another question. What happened to the Seattle defense? They only had one sack, and they gave up 284 yards passing.
I mean, and on top of that, Ryan Matthews left the game early, so he's not contributing on the run
game. Yeah, and no, actually, Ryan Matthews left in the fourth quarter.
Oh, excuse me. You're right.
Yeah, he left in the fourth quarter. He has a sprained MCL. He's out 4 to 5 weeks.
It looks like he'll come back, which is good news, honestly. But you mentioned that they only ran the ball, what was it?
13 times.
My problem is that Marshawn Lynch only had 6 of them.
Right. And he averaged 6 yards a carry.
Dude!
That's what I was talking about, the outcoached.
Did Mike McCoy outcoach Pete Carroll? I'm not going to say that because it's worse than that. Pete Carroll didn't show up. He was just dumb. I mean, well, technically it's the offensive coordinator, but whatever. There's a whole lot of stupid here.
Yeah. Another key stat here. Seattle only had 40 offensive plays to the Chargers 75.
There you go. Well, I mean, with that, you know, and by the way, I know everyone's trying to talk about Richard Sherman was exposed on the field. Look, I'm not going to go that far. Okay. I mean, I think he expressed it well in his tweet. Weasel, do you have that?
Yes. Richard Sherman's tweet was LMAO exposed.
That's laughing my bleep off.
Yes.
Yes.
Complete 3 passes, 0 touchdowns, 0 explosive passes. These guys make me laugh. But you have that Philip Rivers going against or passing to the player that was guarding a...
I believe it was Keenan Allen, second-year receiver.
He was one of them, mm-hmm. but there were, I think, 2 others. Mm-hmm. And he was Philip Rivers was 5 of 5, passing for 60 yards. And there's a... On Keenan Allen's like a second-year player.
Correct.
But he... He's not going to have to go against Sherman for the next, like, 4 years.
No.
So...
not unless they make it to the... Well, they won't make it to the Super Bowl.
He called him just a normal guy, so...
I'm not going to go that far either. I mean, look, let's put it this way. A lot of it was Sherman out of position a couple times? Yes. There was really only one play where I felt like it was tight coverage where Sherman was juked out of his shoes by Keenan Allen. The rest, I felt like he was sitting back because that was the defensive scheme call. And then he had to come up and make a play. You know, I'll admit I'm not a defensive guru, but that's what I saw. Anyway, at the end of the day, though, what I have a problem with is him dodging the media after the game. Look, he had the tweet right there with the perfect response. Why couldn't he say that in front of a microphone and actually show that he's not just some loudmouth who's an even more sore loser than he is a winner?
It's the kind of thing, if it's not a big deal, then... You tell him. Tell everybody.
Reason, perfect.
Yeah,
Weasel.
But the reason why he did is because look what happened last year when he interviewed after the game against the Niners game.
I don't care.
Yeah, I know. But that's the reason. That's the reason why he did not do it.
You think he would have exploded again?
He would have exploded. Yes. Hmm. So that's why he did not do it. He waited for a little while, cool down.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why he did not do it.
He could have come out late. He didn't have to dodge the media outright. I don't mean on the field. Like, he didn't even make it to the post-game press conference.
Right.
Okay? You got time to get composed and do all that. You know, I hear about how smart he is in the Stanford education. Hell, I've talked to the guy. I know he's of reasonable mind and body. He can control that. I think it's a chump move. And especially what kills me is he had the perfect response. Weasel said it best. If it ain't a big deal, let him know it ain't a big deal. Because it coming in a tweet instead of at a microphone, now it's a big deal. Anyways, we got about 6 minutes of show and 2 more games to do. I'm going to run through the Niners game quickly. Let's be honest. There were 3 things that happened in this game. Niner mistakes, good play by the Bears, and referee screw-ups. If I see another freaking game where a defensive lineman is double-teamed and you call the defensive lineman for holding, I'm going to throw things. And it's going to be at Hockley's head. I know he wasn't the one officiating that game, but that doesn't change my answer. Anyways, the Niners lost 28-20. An excellent effort by the Bears. People are going to go after Kaepernick for turnovers. He had 3 interceptions. One of them where the ball was stolen from Michael Crabtree, but that's Kaepernick's fault. Another where rookie tight end Dan Carrier ran the wrong route, but that's Kaepernick's fault. And another one, which was pure gold, with Chris Conte, the safety, dove full extension. Granted, and Kaepernick stared the receiver down the whole time, letting you know, hey, I'm going to throw it to Anquan Boldin. Conte saw that, cuts a good distance across the field, breaks on the ball, dives full extension, makes a fantastic play. Hey, if you're going to get picked off, I got to give all the credit in the world to the Bears on that. That was an excellent play. And then Kaepernick had a fumble where Jared Allen jarred the ball loose. He basically put the helmet on the ball, unintentional as it may have been, and Kaepernick lost the ball. Everyone's forgetting the previous play. Frank Gore had a 40-yard-plus touchdown run called back on a hold call on Anquan Boldin where he threw a block. His hand was inside. They still threw the flag. Yet Jared Allen, when the whistle's blown dead for a false start, dives at Kaepernick's legs and no flag. Oh, he was blocked into him. It was whistled dead. He kept going. He's an 11-year vet. Don't tell me he didn't know. Anyways, 9 penalties gave Bears a first down, helping them sustain drives, get good field position, so Brandon Marshall could have three touchdowns, which was just post up and catch. Thank you very much. Martellus Bennett had one of his own doing the same thing. Let's put it this way. The Bears did good. The Niners left early, and the officials made sure that they stayed locked in the closet once they went home. Crabtree had a chance to score a touchdown that could set up a two-point conversion to finish the game. Dropped the ball, but that's Kaepernick's fault. Anyways, you see where I'm going. Not that Kaepernick had a good game by any stretch of the imagination, but let's read and actually watch some damn film, folks. Throwing that out there. Weasel, wrap it up. Saints-Browns.
The Browns at home upset the Saints 26-24. All right, we got Drew Brees. He passed for 237 yards. Brian Hoyer passed for 204. Two touchdowns, 1 INT for Brees. Just a touchdown for Hoyer. Manziel actually threw a pass, incomplete.
Ooh.
So, for the Saints, Mark Ingram, 11 for 83 yards, one touchdown. You got two rookies. You have Terrence West, and you have Isaiah Crowell. They were combined. They had 30 carries for 122 yards. Sorry. Jimmy Graham had 10 catches for 118 yards, two touchdowns. Andrew Hawkins had 6 for 70, and Miles Austin, he showed up. He had 6 for 44 and a touchdown. So pretty much at the end of this game, with about 9 minutes remaining in the game, Saints up 24-23. Brees drained down the clock to about 2:46. Then the Browns got the ball, and they led it all the way across field to the 11-yard line. A 29-yard field goal was made by Billy Cundiff for the win.
And a big throw on 2nd and 10 previous to that set that up from Brian Hoyer. I think we're pretty clear he's going to be the start in Cleveland for quite some time. Johnny Manziel is now only going to be heard from in the clubs, in my view here. We got about a minute and a half in the show. I know we're going to go over already, so we're going to go ahead and say you'll catch the study hall. You'll catch the study hall in overtime here. We're going to do that here in a second. But, we've been through the Sunday action. Monday night tonight is going to be Colts and Eagles. If you want a whole lot of passing, watch that game. Goodness gracious. Check out this show and many others that we have on NGSCSports.com. Of course, find me on Twitter at the SOTG. Find the man Weasel Weez.
Yeah, boy.
Weasel the SOTG on Twitter. Of course, Rankin the SOTG on Twitter. You'll find Chris. Fantastic all the way around there. Looking forward to week 3 already because, I'll watch Monday night game, sure, but because football, do I have to keep explaining this to you people? Anyways, so this will do it for the live portion of our broadcast, and you can listen to the rest on Overtime on iHeart, Spreaker, and also on NGSCSports.com. as well. iTunes, Spreaker, iHeart, yeah, all that there too. So we will see you shortly. And otherwise, until next time, class dismissed. So, okay, that's the school bell here, but apparently Weasel was talking too much smack on me before the show started, so he's in detention. Let's go ahead and get over top. No, you're not. You're fine. I just had to make the detention joke. He was a goody-cooty in school, folks, I promise. He didn't get detention all that often.
Unless 90 he was late to band seconds.
Again. But Weasel's like, yeah, man, that's too real. That's not funny. Anyways, let me go ahead and get the music going here, and we'll go ahead and throw down the study hall right now. Oh, yeah. Chris, first matchup. Right. How did we do last week?
Hey, we did horrible. We suck.
See, that's why I wanted to skip over it. I wanted to make you forget it. Yes.
We were all 6-9.
Good. All right.
60 seconds.
I don't know. I'm conflicted there.
So I'm still in first. I have a 2-game lead still, 17-14. You both are just below 500, 15-16.
Woot. This guy, we suck. Chris,
all right, first game Thursday night, we get the Bucks at the Falcons. I'm going with the Falcons.
Yeah, the Bucks look interesting, but Gerald McCoy's got a broken hand. He's out. Mike Jenkins, the corner, he's out. There's a whole cavalcade of injuries, And while I've made jokes about Matt Ryan and him being overrated, I don't think he's so overrated that he'll lose to the Bucks on Thursday. I have Julio Jones and Roddy White making the difference. I have the Falcons. Weasel!
I'll take the Falcons, too.
Next game, you got the Chargers at the Bills. Chargers don't come across the
seconds.
Don't come east very well when they travel over this way. They don't play very well. But I think they can. I don't know. Bills, I'd still. It's the Bills. They're 2-0. I don't understand it. I know they can run. They probably can run against the Chargers, too. But, I mean, the Chargers' offense is clicking right now. I mean, I know they lost Ryan Matthews. But they still got Danny Woodhead and Donald Brown. I'm going with the Chargers.
I mean, I have to go to the Chargers, too. I will grant, and something I cite in this week's Matchup Mania upcoming, is that this is the matchup that's going to test the Bills the best so far of the three games, in my view. Their defense has done enough to stop the running game of both the Bears and the Dolphins. Not to say that that's a great feat, but guess what? Ryan Matthews is hurt. Danny Woodhead's good, calling him a main threat to worry about stopping, not so much. They were also able to slow Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey in week one. Okay, look, at the end of the day, the Bills have enough on both sides to do good things all the way around, but I'm going to pick the Chargers on this one myself. Weasel.
I'll go for Buffalo.
Wow.
Let's go, Buffalo.
Let's go. Hopefully next week you won't come in saying, oh no, Buffalo.
Hey, it worked for him last week.
That's true.
He picked the Bills.
Yeah, you did pick the Bills, and you were awesome.
Pick the Bills.
Hey, you can ask that on the... Were you asking him who picked the Bills last week?
Nah.
Okay, well, you can ask that on the air.
GFM.
Great football minds. There you go. So, but you did pick the Chargers, right?
I did pick the Chargers, yeah.
So, nice. Yeah. So you're trying for the you're trying to say we're not GFMs, is that it?
We'll see.
Why gotta be a punk like that, Weasel?
We'll see.
Why gotta, anyway. Chris.
You got the Cowboys at the Rams. The Rams, you don't know. I mean, you don't know if Austin Davis is gonna start, if Sean Hill, when he gets healthy, if he's gonna come back. Austin Davis didn't look that bad for the Rams, but it was against the Bucks.
Yeah.
But then you got the Cowboys. Their defense isn't all that great, but...
But look what they did against a weaker team.
Let's put it in. Yeah, so I'm going with Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm reluctant here, too. I'll go ahead and get behind Romo on this one, but I know that will probably mean that Romo will lose. Crap. Yeah, I got the Cowboys, and hopefully that they can hold pat here. Look, they look good against the Titans. I'm not taking that away from them. They just didn't against the 49ers. And we'll say this, I think I said it a second ago, and this is what you were alluding to as well, Chris. The Rams aren't the 49ers. Bingo. I don't know whether Sean Hill's coming back or not, but I think they're going to start Austin Davis, even if Hill is healthy, on the strength of his performance last week. I have the Cowboys nonetheless. Weasel.
I agree, Cowboys.
All right, next game, you got the Redskins at the Eagles. Kirk Cousins going to be starting, but, you know, I don't know. It's tough on this one because the Redskins defense, 10 sacks, but it was against the Jags. So I'm going to go to the Eagles on this one. So.
I don't blame you for being tough because keep in mind on this show, we pick before the Monday night game, which means we've only really seen the Eagles play once for all intents and purposes, okay? And that's that comeback against the Jags. The Jags, who, you know, the Eagles came out and played like crap, and then they came out and bounced back with a 34-point onslaught in a second half against a bad team. We don't know enough about the Eagles yet. I would have liked to see the result of this Monday night game before I picked this. We don't have that luxury. I'll say this right now, because they'll be missing DeSean Jackson as well. I got the Eagles. Because I'll tell you, if DeSean Jackson were playing so he could stick it to his old team, I'd think about it.
He's day-to-day. They might still play.
I don't know. So. With him being limited, that's right. Enough for me to shy away from it. I have the Eagles being able to do enough to spread the ball around. Weasel.
I agree, Eagles.
That's great analysis, homie. Yeah.
Woot.
Weasel, weird.
Yeah, boy.
You got Texans at the Giants. I'm not going to do it.
Not this time. No,
not this time. I'm actually gonna go with J.J. Watt. He's gonna have an interception in this game.
Look, dude.
He's going to have a couple sacks and an interception. I got the Texans.
An interception. A completion of some sort is all you're saying. He might catch another touchdown as a tight end. We just don't know. But I will say this. We keep citing that the problem for New York is protection and Eli getting scared. And you're going to have Watt come in who scares the O-linemen that have led to Eli getting scared. Yeah, I'm going to pick the Texans in this one. I know that I wouldn't have in August necessarily, but I'm going to now. Weasel.
I got the Texans.
Because Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, yeah. He's doing pretty good.
Oh, I was just joking. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Hey.
You got Vikings at the Saints. The Saints are 0-2 right now. I think they're going to be a little pissed, right? Going against...
Desperate.
Going against, yes. Well, pissed, desperate, whatever you want to call it. I think you're going to be pissed. Jimmy Graham's going to have another big week against this Vikings linebackers. No one's going to be able to cover them. I got the Saints.
Is anybody else noticing the way the Falcons and the Saints are kind of tanking right now? That the Panthers may actually have a good shot at repeating that division, and it would be the first repeat champion we've had in the South. Be a very interesting concept. Of course, we're still a long way away from that. As much as I think Peterson being back will help the Vikings in this game, and as much as I know that the Saints' defense is bad, I'm not that brave yet. I'm going to keep with the Saints one more week, and if they lose, I will have fodder to make fun of my in-laws in New Orleans during Thanksgiving. Weasel.
I guess I'll go for the Saints.
So why are you selling out your team on this one, homie?
Hey, when you make predictions or if you play fantasy football, you just got to let those loyalties, put them to the side.
Okay. But why? Give me a tactic. What do you see on the field? Help me out. You're a fan of these players, dog. Come on now.
He's Jimmy Graham.
Jimmy Graham.
That's a good reason.
Jimmy Graham.
Okay, there you go. Chris.
You got Titans versus Bengals. Titans showed us who they exactly were this weekend. So I'm going Bengals.
It was the Cowboys, guys. The Cowboys, okay? Granted, I know that Andy Dalton's guaranteed money isn't in the 50 millions like Romo's is. But stop it. That defense is still epic and not one of the third worst in history overall. I have the Bengals on the defense alone. I don't care if AJ Green's hurt. Weasel.
Picked up the Bengals on my fantasy football team.
Bing!
So we'll see. I think they'll get pressure. So Bengals.
All right. You got the Ravens versus the Browns. This one, I think, is tough.
It is.
You know, it's AFC North. You get the Browns coming off a win against the Saints. Saints didn't have – their defense is iffy. Jordan Cameron, I don't know if he's back. If he's back, it's going to make it an exciting game. But I'm going to go with Ravens on this one.
This is certainly the hardest one we picked so far for the coming week. I'm going to say, good God, I'm not that brave – to pick Hoyer over Flacco on this one. I'm tempted. But at the end of the day, I think the Ravens take care of the business and get themselves just a bit back on track. Going 2-1 with the W here. Weasel.
I got Cleveland.
Okay. That's one you actually don't have to explain why.
Yeah.
We get the idea. They almost beat the Steelers themselves. I see it.
They're pretty good.
You got Packers at the Lions. This is, I think, another tough game, another... North teams coming against each other. I don't think the Lions got the secondary to tame Jordy Nelson or Randall Cobb. I'm going Packers.
Even less, they don't have the secondary to be balanced to stop the run as well. Eddie Lacy doing some stuff up front there for the run for the Packers, making that a balanced offense all the way around. I, too, have the Pack. Weasel.
Don't forget about Megatron. I got the Lions.
Oh, snap. He's thinking Detroit could give him two in a row on his side. No, you're shrugging like, yeah, what about it, Cam? I'm a GFM. Chris.
You got the Colts at the Jags. I'm going Colts. No reason why. Just it's the Jags.
Colts, well, because I said so.
Because it's the Jags.
Yeah, Colts. I think that's the best way to go.
All right. This other one's another... crap game, I think. It's going to be...
That's another complete bunch of trash.
Yeah, you got the Patriots at... Or the Raiders at the Patriots. I'm going Patriots. Because The Raiders, they suck.
You know, I'm sure when Belichick came out against the Dolphins, he might have said in his locker room, "We suck. They don't suck that bad. I got the Pats, Weasel."
Patriots, of course, yeah.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Chris.
You got Niners at the Cardinals.
I mean, this, wow. Yeah, go ahead, dude.
Vernon Davis injury. I don't know how severe that is. His sprained ankle.
Yeah.
Cardinals. No, I'm going Niners. Patrick Peterson, he got paid in the offseason.
Yeah.
Reuben Randall was getting by him. He had two pass interference calls against Reuben Randall, Patrick Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
And now you want him to go against Michael Crabtree or Anquan Boldin.
Or Stevie Johnson.
So I'm going Niners.
I'll tell you this. If I'm the Cardinals, I'm attacking the right side of the line because the rookie Young for the Bears had two sacks, dominating the newly acquired tackle, Jonathan Martin. Yes, that Jonathan Martin. However, he's coming back. That was a tough. It's hard for me to really say what that offense is going to do. Because let's call it what it is. The Cowboys laying down, and then they laying down against the Bears. We don't know really what the identity of the 49ers are. We have 6-1, half a dozen of the other. The Cardinals' defense is legitimate, okay? That's tough. The reason why I'm picking against the Cardinals, though, has nothing to do with their defense. Carson Palmer's out with a shoulder. Drew Stanton's the quarterback. Willis and company versus Drew Stanton as a quarterback. I know where my money is. I got the 49ers. Weasel!
Contrarian, I got the Cardinals.
Do you think Carson Palmer's going to start? Is that it?
Huh.
I don't care.
They got a good defense to stop him, so.
No, and that's a legit reason as any. They're better than the Bears defense, even in my view, Chris.
Super Bowl rematch. You got Broncos versus the Seahawks. Seahawks are back at home. I'm going with they're going to have the 13th man on their side. I'm going, or 12th man or whatever.
Yeah.
12th man. I got Seahawks.
Look, let's
they're going to have 13 too. They're going to have the refs too. So
No, but I'll say this. There's some people who, when they're angry, they become flustered and unable to focus. However, the Seahawks, as a squad, as a team, when they're pissed, they find focus. I have the Seahawks for just that reason. Weasel.
Their stadium. Big reason why whenever they went for the Super Bowl, it had I think the coach from Denver.
John Fox.
He said that he didn't think that the noise would be a problem at the Super Bowl because it's kind of, quote unquote, a neutral site.
Yeah.
So the thing was that Manning couldn't do his a lot of his audibles. He couldn't do the Omaha
57.
I think three times he did it. And then in the game before, in the championship for the AFC, he did it like 20 times. So... I'm going to pick to the Seahawks because of the 12th man. I mean,
because the noise will just be that much greater on a site we know ain't neutral.
Yeah,
there
so
you go. I got you.
Bad memories too for the Broncos. Just saying.
Haunted. Chris.
You got the Chiefs at the Fins. I'm going Chiefs on this one. They came back against the Broncos late in the game. The Dolphins. No, Sean Moreno's out. They just re-signed Daniel Thomas, which could have even actually hurt him more than helping him.
They do still have Lamar Miller.
Right. But I'm going, even though the Chiefs are a little banged up on the defense, I'm going Chiefs.
I'm going Fins. No Jamal Charles means that Cameron Wake and company go after the king of the check down and possibly make him throw another three picks. And by the way, if the Fins don't win, I will personally call up Special Agent of Sports Christopher Rizzo and harangue the hell out of him. Weasel.
Okay. What do we got for the teams again?
Chiefs, Fins.
I'll take the Chiefs.
Because you want to.
It's because.
You don't believe in Ryan Tannehill. Just say it. Chris.
Steelers, Panthers.
Sunday night.
Yes. I see that, you know. The Panthers defense is doing pretty well. They're going to fluster, I think, Roethlisberger, just like Ravens defense last week. I mean, they only scored 6 points. I'm going Panthers.
I'm going Panthers because defense. That's why. Oh, and Cam Newton is starting again. There's that. Weasel.
I'll go also with the Panthers.
No homerism today. Boom.
Then Monday night, you got the Bears at the Jets. I'm going Bears, even though Charles Tillman's out. He's done for the season with a torn bicep. So I'm going to go Bears.
Yeah, and the irony in that is he got hurt trying to hit Crabtree in the back on an illegal block. Oh, well. Anyways, with that all being said, that, you know, Charles Tillman's a good player and all that. I just couldn't help but notice that if, you know, he didn't hit Crabtree in the back, he wouldn't have been hurt.
Right, and then also Mo Williams. He's going to be out. He's might be out for the game because he was ejected from yesterday's game, too.
Yes, that's accurate.
So that's a big blow for the Jets' defense.
All that being said, I think even though both Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffery were both hurt, they're still huge targets that can move the ball forward. I got the Bears as well. Weasel.
I got the Bears.
Okay. That'll round it up for the study hall. There's our picks. Chris is still ahead two games. Because me and Weasel live in Woodson Land where we say we suck. That doesn't get old. I don't know why. Anyways, so wrapping that up. I don't know, gentlemen. That'll do us for now. We'll see everybody for Week 3 action, 7:30 Eastern, here on the National Gridiron Network. Check us out, ngscsports.com. You can hear us live, or you can hear us on iHeart, Spreaker, or iTunes as well here coming soon. We haven't gotten that set up, but we are moving towards that, and we will let you know when that's completed. At any rate, until next time, folks, class dismissed.